If you'd like to turn in the scriptures to Revelation chapter 4, the opening hymn was a very appropriate, couldn't have selected a better hymn to open with this passage of scripture, which is looking into the throne room of heaven, Revelation chapter 4. We've read the letters that Jesus Christ sends to his churches, the seven churches scattered throughout Asia. Chapter 1 is the account of the Apostle John seeing Jesus Christ in his glorified state and then receiving the letter to these churches. And now the rest of the book of Revelation is the unfolding of the things which are and which shall be and which are to come. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." So the first part of the book is a message that Jesus Christ sends, specific messages to specific churches, to specific groups of people that he's called out of darkness into his marvelous light and set aside and set apart, sanctified for his purposes and for his worship and praise. And now John's going to record what he saw as an eyewitness. That was the apostles' primary responsibility, was to bear witness to the things which they had seen and heard, the things which had been revealed to them that they had experienced. And so John now, as an apostle, is recording for us the revelation, the things which he saw of a heavenly nature. He says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.'" Now, when you listen to the book of Revelation and hear it read, and when you study it, keep in mind that the ones who were receiving this letter for the first time, the first century Christians, didn't have their own copy to go into and study it into great depth with. They heard it read in the worship service. And so as the churches got these letters, they probably read them in one setting, and they took away from it some general themes and some lessons about the things which are to come, the things that Christ wants his church to know about the future, about the end times. And here he says that he saw heaven. A door was opened in heaven, and he saw things which must be hereafter. It says, "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." You'll remember that John is not the only one that we have recorded that was taken up to heaven and saw things in heaven. For Paul, he says he saw things and he heard things which it was unlawful for a man to speak. John here, he sees and hears some things which he's not permitted to record for us. At one point, there is some sayings that are recorded, and it sounded like thunder, and he started to write it down, and an angel commanded him not to write what he had heard. So we're not seeing and we're not hearing everything that John saw at this time, but we are hearing and finding out about what John saw and that God would have us to know about. He says, things which must be hereafter. And he says, "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." The emphasis of Scripture over and over again is that we serve one God. Now, sometimes we can get confused, and little children can confuse that and think that there are three gods. They say, yeah, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, there's one God. And it's a mystery that only can be believed and embraced by faith, that there's three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as you continue to read, you'll see that there are three persons of the Godhead here in heaven and on the throne, but there's one that sits on the throne, one God in heaven. "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald." There's John's description of the throne of God. "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." You say, well, who are the 24 elders? Well, there were 12 tribes of Israel, and there were 12 apostles. So these men are the representatives of the believing Jews, of God's people out of the Jewish nation, and the believing Gentiles, God's people out of all the nations, tribes, and tongues. And the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, they're all represented here by these 24 elders, clothed in white raiment and had on their head crowns of gold. "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. Now I want to stop here and turn to the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah saw the throne of God. He saw the glory of God. And I want you to hear his description and see the similarities of what John is writing and what Isaiah wrote. Isaiah 6, he says, verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly." The seraphims were a type of angel. "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now what I want you to get from Revelation as we read through this is the response that the worship of God by these seraphims, by these angels, the response that that has in the worship of the elders and of the people of God. The seraphims, remember, they're the created angels, the ministers, the servants of God. Their responsibility and privilege is to worship God all the time and also to do his bidding. They cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now he's going to describe them here. He says, four beasts full of eyes before and behind. "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." This is probably symbolic of the nature of these angels. A lion probably symbolizing strength, a calf maybe life and nurturing. The face as a man probably intelligence and reasoning, and then the eagle, swiftness. That's maybe what it symbolizes there. The four beasts that worship God, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." If ever there were any creatures who were fit to worship God, it's these seraphims who were created in purity, who have dwelled with God for time on end, and who have beheld his glory and worshiped him in spirit and in truth, who have seen his might and his power and his dealings, even with the children of men. And they cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Wonderful declaration of the nature, the attributes of God in their praise song. "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." There's a scripture tune that I'll teach you right now to this verse. "Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, hast all things created, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord." The response of the 24 elders to the worship of the beast, of the four beasts that worship God, crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Now God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, now we're going to see God the Son here around the throne of God. He says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." So when you continue to read in Revelation from this point forward, what you have is this unfolding of the book that God the Father holds in his right hand. Now there's a problem. John the Apostle desperately, for whatever reason, wants to know what's inside the book. Probably the Holy Spirit had put that desire in him. And there's a problem, and that is that there is no one fit, there's no one appropriate, there's no one worthy to loose the seals of the book. The book was not like this book. The book was like a scroll, and it had seven seals on it. And the seals were within, and you'd have a seal on the outside, and then you'd unroll it to a certain place, and there'd be another seal. This one had seven seals. And he says that no man in heaven nor in earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now, for whatever reason, John the apostle knew that this was an important book, and it was important for the book to be opened. He says, "I saw a strong angel," verse 2, "proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" So Jesus Christ, the unfolding of God's providence throughout history, it's all resting upon the sufficiency and the worthiness of Jesus Christ to open the book. He says here, the Son of God is described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. He says he had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now that ought to tell us something. John was concerned that this book should be opened. John wept much when the book could not be opened, when there was no one found to open the book. John was comforted when they said, "Jesus Christ hath prevailed to open the book." Now as you continue to read, and there may be some frightening things, you say, "Well, these don't sound like a great host of good things that are going to happen upon the earth." You ought to know that this is supposed to be a word of comfort to the people of God. This was a word of comfort to John. This is God's providence through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, God's blessings to his church. He says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are here pictured in Revelation 4 and 5. Notice the description of Christ. The angel says, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David." And when John looks, he doesn't say, "I saw a lion." He says, "And when I look, I saw a lamb. A lamb as it had been slain." So Jesus Christ still bears the marks of his suffering on the cross for your sins and for mine. And he's going to bear those marks in eternity as a perpetual reminder to us of the price that was paid for our redemption. "A lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes." Seven probably symbolizing perfection and his omniscience, his knowledge. He has eyes, and it's the Spirit of God. He says the seven spirits of God. I believe that's representing the Holy Spirit, which is inside of each child of God and inside and with the church, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Jesus Christ, because of his work of redemption, his finished work of redemption, is now worthy to open the book that God the Father holds. "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, the 20 and four beasts, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." So John says, "I beheld, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." You say, sometimes I wish we had a larger congregation because it'd be great to see more people worshiping God. Out of all the people in Bel Air, Maryland, out of all the people in Harford County, or out of the people in the state of Maryland or United States of America, you'd think there would be more people having a desire to worship God. Well, here John sees it. He sees the creatures, the angels, mixed with the redeemed out of all nations, tribes, and tongues, gathered together to worship the Son of God. And he says the unfolding of all this in God's providence is going to be that the kings and priests, which God has made us to him, are going to reign upon the earth. Now, in order for that to happen, there's going to have to be some evil. There's going to have to be some opposition. There's going to have to be some enemies, so to speak, that are driven out of the land. And we know there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth that comes down from God out of heaven. He says that the people of God are going to reign on the earth. And in order for that to happen, there's going to have to be the casting out of the wicked, which are reigning now. They were singing with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Notice he says, every beast, every created beast, even in the sea, in heaven and in earth, every created beast here, John witnesses giving worship and praise to Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God makes his people willing in the day of his power, but God can command his praise to come forth from every creature without respect to how they feel about him. Every creature cries, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. God bless you.